In this year of last, in my ministry with you, there have also been some firsts. To name a few, a Lenten sermon series based entirely on Psalms, the penitential Psalms. Remember them? And last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we had a cafe-style worship set up for families, which worked very well, had excellent feedback from that. Maybe we'll be doing it again and again and again. And a two-part Bible study on the book of Romans, along with this five-week series based under the title Question of Paul that he asks in the eighth chapter, what then shall we say about these things? So you might be wondering, why Romans and why now? Well, the honest answer is this. For my many years as a pastor scholar, I have avoided a series on Romans because I thought I would come across more as a scholar than as a pastor. So now, with half of a Bible study under my belt, I'm ready to do a little of both. What a better person for a Lutheran pastor like myself to quote from than good old Martin Luther himself. Luther wrote this commentary to the Romans early on in his career as a teacher. Unfortunately, he never wrote anything later on in his life on Romans, but this is what he said as a young professor and man. He wrote this. He said, Paul's letter to the Romans is really the chief part of the New Testament and is truly the purest gospel. It is worthy not only of every Christian should know it word by word, by heart, but also that all believers should occupy themselves with it every day as the daily bread of the soul. We can never read or ponder it too much, for the more we deal with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. As those who have attended the first part of our Romans Bible study can attest, Paul's letter to the Romans is the apostle's longest letter, and it stands first in the sequence of letters in the New Testament. Romans is also widely consulted by those who seek Paul's authority on preaching the gospel and also the teachings of the early church. And Romans can also be cited for theological impact upon the work and reforming activities of major church figures such as St. Augustine, Luther, John Calvin, and later on John Wesley. What is it about Romans that has proved so life-changing and history-shaping? It's because Romans is all about the gospel. Paul was writing to the church in Rome around the year 57 AD, the first century, because he wanted the congregation in Rome to understand, first of all, the gospel, and then, better yet, experience it in their life together as a people. He was likely writing to them during his third missionary journey when he was sojourning in Corinth in Greece. During Lent, we had a video series about Paul and his life in Corinth. Many of you enjoyed that, seeing Corinth and what it looks like today. There were Christians he had never met, though he had hoped to in the near future when he would visit Rome, because Paul wanted to go to the end of the Roman world, which was Spain. So he thought he would go to Rome and, like a good evangelical preacher, collect some money for that missionary journey west. Well, Paul finally got to Rome, but not the way he expected. He came there as a prisoner. Now, Paul did not have firsthand knowledge of the people in Rome, but you know, he knew what they needed to hear most, the gospel. And I think that's still true today. That's what Luther himself needed in his life, You see, Luther was a German Augustinian monk, and he was a professor of Bible theology at Wittenberg University, who had been taught that God required him to live a righteous life in order to be saved. And so he admitted to his confessor very often that he had grown to hate God for first requiring him to do what he could not do, and then for leaving him to fail always, not being able to live up to God's standard of holiness or righteousness. Then Luther read and finally grasped the meaning of the last verse in today's text that John read for us today. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God, is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, "The one who is righteous will live by faith." Listen to Luther's own words as to his great spiritual discovery, his own aha moment, so to speak, that set in motion not only a great spiritual growth in his life, but also the so-called Protestant Reformation. Here's Luther. He said, "I labored diligently and anxiously as to how to understand Paul's word. The expression, 'the righteousness of God,' stood in my way, because I took it to mean the righteousness whereby God himself is righteous and deals righteously in punishing the unrighteous," meaning himself. "Although an impeccable monk, I stood before God as a sinner. Therefore, I did not love a righteous and angry God, but rather hated and murmured against him." And listen to this. He said, "I grasp that the righteousness of God is that righteousness by which, through grace and sheer mercy, God justifies us by faith. Thereupon, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into a paradise in which I broke through to. And as I have formerly hated the expression 'the righteous of God,' I now began to regard it as my dearest and most comforting word." As Luther so powerfully describes, this gospel of God, as Paul states at the outset of his greatest letter, is a declaration about God, God's righteousness. It was the message that the perfection and holiness of God has been seen and witnessed, not in humans, but in the life, death, of one Jesus Christ. And this perfection is offered to us as a free gift, like baptism, through the life and death of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message of Romans. In Romans, Paul shows us not only how God in the gospel makes sinners righteous, but also how this most precious gift of God is enjoyed in our lives, how it produces changes in our behavior and even in our character. Reading and reflecting on Paul's letter today, we should be prepared to have our hearts shaped and our lives changed by God's gift of righteousness, just as so many others have been down throughout the centuries. Romans will prompt us to ask, have I, like Martin Luther, broken through with the freedom and release of the gospel that it brings me, both in terms of my future and my life right now? Unsurprisingly, the beginning of the letter to Romans is all about the gospel. Paul begins by introducing himself. He is Paul. And first and foremost, he says he's a servant of Christ Jesus. Now, servant here literally means slave. Paul, like any other slave, has a master. That master is Christ. Christ, the person under whom Paul serves. Paul has also been called upon to be an apostle. Apostle is the root word of our term ambassador today. It simply means sent one. This is not a job Paul set out to become or apply for. He was called into it. He was transformed and commissioned by Christ himself. Why did the Lord call and set apart Paul to be an apostle? I'm sure he asked that question many times. But he certainly began to realize why. His purpose in life was to spread the gospel. That was his overriding purpose. And isn't that a wonderful thing in life when we find our true purpose, when we're able to use the gifts that God gives us for a purpose, especially when it's helping others? This is what Paul will slave for the rest of his life. Now, what is this gospel for which Paul was willing to be a slave? What gospel would make a person like Paul happy to lose everything in order to share it? Consider the original meaning of the word gospel. Gospel literally means good herald. Now, in Paul's first century world, the Romans dominated. And the gospel to them was a word that they used. It meant herald. And when an emperor went off to war and won a great and glorious victory, he would send his heralds back to cities, and especially Rome, to announce and proclaim the victory that the emperor has won for the empire. Put most simply, the gospel is an announcement, a declaration. It's not advice to be followed, it's news, good news about what has been done. And that good news is what we heard last Sunday on Easter, that Jesus, the one who has been crucified, is now risen from the dead. He brings new life out of death, not only for himself, but also for those who call upon him and follow him. Paul goes on to profess that he's not ashamed of the gospel. In Paul's time, crucifixion was an awful death, a shameful death, especially to Jews like himself and even pagan Gentiles. But Paul came to realize that that shameful death was the means to eternal and glorified life. It is the power of God manifest. Paul says that the gospel is a power. It is the power of God in verbal form. It lifts people up. It transforms them. It changes them. It is the power of God unto salvation. All that is required to know this salvation is belief. It is offered to everyone who believes. Faith is the channel or the connection to the power of the gospel. Notice Paul says it is for everyone. It came to the Jews first through Jesus, their Messiah. But because of Christ's resurrection and ascension, it is now for the Gentile as well. Everyone and anyone. It is for everyone who believes. That is why we baptize infants like Logan, so he will grow up and become a believer. Here's the thing. The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. Right standing is received from God, offered to us only through the Son. It is not something that we earn or accomplish on our own. That's what drove Luther crazy, because he could never achieve the righteousness that he thought he had to earn in order to obtain salvation. Righteousness is a free gift like baptism. It is received by faith alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. Beloved people of God, and that's what Paul calls the Romans in his letter in this chapter. Paul himself had a Luther moment when he read and quoted from the prophet Habakkuk, who wrote, "The righteous will live by faith." The gospel will always cause offense because it reveals us as having a need that we can never meet for ourselves. We need to remember that the gospel, like God, is for us. The gospel is the power of God. It reveals God's righteousness. It is the way that we receive God's righteousness. When we come to know the gospel, we feel its power. We become eager to know more of the wonder and power of the gospel for our own lives. When that happens, we become eager to herald it for others. We can never earn our own righteousness, but because of Christ, in God's eyes, we are already righteous. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the gospel. Amen.